Who do you say that I am? Although Jesus addressed this question to his disciples, technically the question is also addressed to all of us. Who do we say that Jesus is? This radically important question will completely reshape the way we think of God, but also the way we think of our relationship with Him. Depending on how you answer it, will tell a lot about your relationship with God and how you think of Jesus. For example, let's say you thought of Jesus as a social... the word's gone. Social justice person. Someone who's a social revolutionary. There we go. A social revolutionary. Someone who instituted this brand new order and called people to a new way of life, which he did. He reformed the idea of the covenant, bringing it back to what it was supposed to be. He looked at all people as equal, raising up the dignity of women, slaves, and children, and did a lot to start a whole new social order. So in many ways, we can see him as a social revolutionary. And for those who think of Jesus simply as a social revolutionary, they just take the parts they like. They take the parts that are about the new order. They take the parts that are about how to treat people, and they live those, as if he were like Gandhi or Martin Luther King. They did the same thing. They rose up and explained a new way of doing things, and people saw that as important. But, in the same vein, if we were to see Jesus simply as a social revolutionary, there's no relationship there. He's no more important to us than Gandhi or MLK. He doesn't do anything different in our lives, but give us a new way of living based on his teachings. So there's no relationship, and there's definitely no way he's calling us to a greater spirituality. He's not driving us closer to God. He's not encouraging us to get to know him better. That's the end of it. In a similar vein, if we thought of Jesus as a guru, someone who has this great wisdom like Confucius or Buddha or the Dalai Lama, someone who people look after for wisdom on how to live well and live life well, then we would take the sayings that we like, cultivate them in our lives, and try and live life well. That's what we'd do if he was a guru. So that in the same vein as a social revolutionary, there's still no relationship. We don't really care who he is. We care more about his teachings. We care more about how to live his teachings well in our lives and dismiss everything else. No relationship with God, no being called to something greater. That's kind of where it ends. So with these two, there's really nothing more. That's kind of where we're stuck. But what if we saw Jesus as like a brother or a close friend or someone that's really important to us, that we would go to him when we need comfort or encouragement, we'd go to him when we have an issue to work out or something like that? In that case, it would be like most of our other good friends. We go to our good friends when we want comfort, or want companionship, or we're lonely, or we have an event we want to do. And that's kind of how we'd treat Jesus as well, as someone that we go to on occasion when we need the feeling of being with someone, or we need to vent something, or we need encouragement. And so we have that level of relationship as a friend. But friends don't really call us anywhere. They don't really guide us to be something greater. They just are there as kind of companionship. And so that's where we're stuck too. Jesus is our companion. As the 80s song said, Jesus is a friend of mine. But we're not really diving into the mystery of God. We're seeing him as merely human, not human and divine. And we're stuck because we can't go higher in the spiritual life. We can't wander into the mystery of God because he's merely human to us. C.S. Lewis famously said, Jesus is either a liar, a lunatic, or Lord. I sure hope that most of you don't think of him as a liar or a lunatic, but you could easily see that if you wanted to dismiss a lot of what he did. How many people have risen from the dead? How many people cure that many people just by touching them? There's some weird stuff that goes with Jesus. So to think of him as a lunatic or a liar does actually work to some extent. His stuff is so radically different from everything else that it doesn't fit into our normal ways of thinking. So if you wanted to absolutely dismiss him, have no relationship whatsoever, ignore his presence in history, and have no relationship with God, by all means, call him a liar or a lunatic. But then we get to something that's very important. Jesus as Lord. Now, thinking of Jesus as Lord is not easy, because how often do we have a Lord type of relationship in our lives? We're not in a feudal system. We don't have kings over us. We're not serfs to which we have feudal lords. And a president or even a ruler of our modern times does not fit the same level as a Lord. Lord requires respect, requires obedience, requires fealty, which we don't really do the same way as today. So the idea of Jesus as Lord is hard for us. And it's even hard for the people of Jesus' time. If we're reading this passage from the Gospel of Luke, after Peter makes his central proclamation, "You are the Christ," Jesus says to him, "You could not have said that unless my heavenly Father told you that." That's a reality of how difficult this is. The fact of Jesus as Lord is not something we just kind of intuit to. Our minds don't kind of reason to it. It's something that's built out of faith. Faith in the fact that Jesus is something greater than human. He's something greater than just our best friend or a social revolutionary, something greater than a guru. And this is what the Gospels try to get our attention to. They try to proclaim this message that Jesus is Lord. A great example is the Gospel of Mark. In chapter 4 of the Gospel of Mark, we have the calming of the storm. Big, violent storm, winds, waves, everyone's going to die, scary stuff. Jesus says, "Quiet, be still." Then they make this statement. "Who is this whom even the wind and the sea obey?" It's a question, almost a rhetorical question. I wonder whom the sea and the winds obey. Oh, it must be God, which is what the author is trying to get our attention to. And from that point forward through the rest of the Gospel of Mark, he's trying to encourage us to see Jesus properly, to see all these events line up, that by the end of the Gospel, we'll say, yes, of course Jesus must be Lord. What else is there? Of course he must be the Messiah. Look what he's done. So even the Gospels are trying to get us to that point where we can say Jesus is truly Lord. Now the challenge for us is, how does that work into our lives? On a relational level, it's easy to relate to Jesus as a friend. We know what friends are like. But Lords are harder. They're above us. They require some sort of fealty. We have certain codes of conduct that go with someone that's above us. And so in that way, we have to realize that if Jesus is Lord, we have to treat him differently than we treat other things. That is part of the relationship. But conversely, he's also human like us and wants us to relate to him. So we have that friendship element still with him. We have to hold both in tension, that he's above and beyond our imagination, so close to be intimate with us. His ways are so beyond ours, but he wants us to know them. This is the weirdness of our relationship with Jesus. In the same vein, because he is above us and is God, he calls us into the heights of the mystery of God. He guides our minds and our hearts and thoughts that we may realize who God is and start to wander into that mystery. So there's something more. By knowing Jesus as Lord, it's not just about the relationship with him, but the relationship with God and calling us into that life and mystery. That is our goal. So each of us must hear that question and answer it for ourselves. Who do you say that I am? And as you go through life, it'll morph and change as the relationship changes as well. Sometimes Jesus is a friend to us. Sometimes we need wisdom. Sometimes we need to see, how do I live my life differently? But they're not all different. Our ultimate goal is to see Jesus as Lord. And as St. Paul says to us, no one can call Jesus as Lord unless the Holy Spirit inspires him. So that's our goal. Our goal is to wander through the Gospels, to wander through this life of faith in such a way that we feel the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit informs us in such a way that we can call Jesus Lord and dive into that relationship, realize what that means in our lives, that we may, with the full inspiration, say profoundly, Jesus is Lord.